The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Got some tough calls in week 17, including Patrick Mahomes. Can you trust Patrick Mahomes against the Cincinnati Bengals? A bit of a layup defensively, but Mahomes been missing some layups lately, people. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday. Going to ask you some 2024 questions. We'll talk about the TJ Hockenson injury and what that means for next season. And yeah, we'll get into the Jets and Browns. And more. Good morning, Dave and Heath. Heath, I see you have a nice, tasty championship matchup against Jamie in one of your dynasty leagues, huh?
I do. You are. I feel like I'm being set up for something, no, but it is. It's a very interesting matchup. This is an almost full IDP league with, I think we have 8 defensive starters, 7 defensive starters, and almost more than that on offense. Jamie has RB1 and RB2 on the season, both McCaffrey and Kyren Williams. He has 2 of the top 10 wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Justin Jefferson. Just an incredible offense. And I think I have 3 of the top 5 defensive scorers on the season. It's defense versus offense.
Yeah, look at that.
In the Super Bowl.
All right. You make like the Ravens and intercept him 4 times. Oh, by the way, how did your Mahomes leagues go?
That is one of my Mahomes leagues.
Okay.
I have 5 teams that are still alive and 3 of them have Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. All right. Yes. All right.
So, yeah.
Let's go Mahomes.
That means you're winning in spite of Mahomes. That's the sign of a good team.
I mean, even last week, what did he score? 18 fantasy points?
18.
Yeah, it was just 18, but you start him with the hope of him getting, well, it's changed now. It used to be you start him hoping you get 28 points, but now you'd be happy if you got like 23.
Someone sent me a screenshot. Here it is. Never bench Baltimore DST and Mahomes. We in the finals, baby. And his league, Mahomes scored 34.8 points. It's like, what kind of a league are you playing in where he scored that many points? Anyway.
No, I definitely had a league where he scored 21 or 22.
Where like turnovers don't count or something?
No, I was like, did you get points for the pick 6? But anyway, let's get to the show here because the tough calls we're going to talk about, Mahomes, Travis Etienne, and DeAndre Swift in great matchups. Can you trust them? How about T. Higgins against the Chiefs? If Jamar Chase is out, I think it might be tougher if Jamar Chase is out than in. DeAndre Hopkins trying to get revenge again on the Texans, who did not work the last time out. But anyway, let's go to the Hockenson injury here. News and notes, Hockenson torn ACL and MCL. They face the Packers on Sunday night. So he's obviously out for the season. Dave, from a 2024 standpoint, what's your early reaction here to this TJ Hockenson injury?
You have to hope that he heals up quickly and that he's available to at least participate toward the end of training camp and then be ready to go probably on a limited basis to start the season. It's different for a running back, receiver, tight end compared to a quarterback because the tight end and all those other positions, they've got to move around a lot and we'll just see how he does, but could end up being a decent value if you take the approach of, all right, I'm going to draft Hockenson. Like he's a top 5 tight end. And then I'll draft another tight end later. I'll start the season with the other tight end and eventually get Hockenson, probably at a value on draft day, put him into my lineup once he's ready to go. Second half of the 2024 season, he should be good.
So I think this is almost exactly the same timing. Maybe 1 week difference is what Chris Tauer said yesterday from Chris Godwin's torn ACL. And Godwin made it back for week one, but then obviously it was hot and cold and off and on. And Godwin, I think, was a year younger than Hockenson also when it has happened. But yeah, it's pretty problematic as far as I go. I don't think he's going to be ranked as a top five tight end for me next year.
But he could perform like one on a per game basis.
Hopefully in the second half he does.
But if you saw him in round 10, you'll make a beeline for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. What if it's round 7?
No.
I might take the chance in round 7. Depends on who else is available. I haven't really thought that far ahead.
Yeah. Just so everyone knows, I'll give you his 17 game pace in the first 6 games of the season with Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson. And they were, I believe, the most pass happy team in football. He was on pace for 102 catches, which is terrific, but only 861 yards and 6 touchdowns in 6 games on 133 targets. All right, Jamie is here. He was having a microphone issue. I'm going to bring him on. We'll see if we have the same microphone issue. Fingers crossed. Here we go. Jamie. Hey, this sounds great. All right. No issues at all. All right, that's TJ Hockenson. Speaking of the Vikings, though, they could start any of their 3 quarterbacks this week, according to the Star Tribune. And again, they face Green Bay on Sunday night. we don't have a ton of clarity at quarterback in Washington. Ron Rivera has not decided yet, according to the Washington Post, as they get San Francisco. In Jacksonville, not a great sign that they signed Matt Barkley off the Giants practice squad. Trevor Lawrence has the sprained right AC joint, so we'll see if he plays against Carolina. Mason Rudolph seems likely to start this week, not necessarily because he's beaten out Kenny Pickett, but Kenny Pickett's not healthy yet. They're at Seattle, and Zach Wilson will miss this week's game, according to NJ.com, and they play tomorrow at Cleveland. Meanwhile, how many times have I mentioned Jimmy Ward on this show recently? Houston's safety. He's on IR. So they claimed Kareem Jackson off waivers from Denver, but their pass defense has been considerably worse without Jimmy Ward. They get Tennessee this week. San Francisco needs some D-tackle help. They signed Sebastian Joseph Day, who was released by the Chargers. And a couple of Cowboys notes as they get ready for Detroit on Saturday. They've got one of the spotlight games this week, Saturday night. Tyron Smith missed practice and Jonathan Hankins, defensive tackle, miss practice. Hey, did you guys vote yet? I voted. Yeah. Good.
17 times.
Keep voting as much as you can. SportsPodcastAwards.com. We are a finalist for the best fantasy betting and gaming podcast category in the Sports Podcast Awards. To help us bring home some hardware, use the link. It's in the QR code on YouTube. It's in the YouTube chat. We're going to put it there. It's in the episode description. Or if you don't want to do that, just go to SportsPodcastAwards.com, click vote now, and select best fantasy betting and gaming podcast and vote for Fantasy Football Today. The whole process should take about 30 seconds. Help us out. All right, week 17, tough calls. Jamie, you are facing Heath's Patrick Mahomes in the YOLO finals. He's up against Cincinnati. Are you happy that you're facing Patrick Mahomes in the finals?
More so than ever before, but this should be a good game for him. Last week should have been a good game for him. Several times this year, there should have been a lot of good games for him. look, he's always got the potential to have a 40-point game, I hope. I hope he does. I have him in another league, so I wouldn't be upset if that's the one guy for Heath's team that goes off, or one of them. But it's not a tough matchup. It's more about, and this has been the case all season long, the stuff going on with their team as opposed to, I think, what teams are doing necessarily to them.
Yeah. Jamie's got a little bit of an audio, a video pause there. So anyway.
So he's still a number one quarterback, but he's not a top five guy.
Seamless. Dave, where do you have Mahomes ranked?
Top 10, but not top 5. Expecting a modest game against Cincinnati. Don't think he's just going to throw all over the place. I actually think Clyde Edwards-Helaire ends up taking a big bulk of the workload. He's their only running back at this point. And I think you can run on Cincinnati. I would imagine they'll try and just do what they can do to get a win, period. They don't need style points for now. They just need victories to try and solidify their status in the AFC playoff race.
So, Heath, where do you have him ranked? And then would you start, say, Baker Mayfield over him against the Saints?
No, he's going to be somewhere between 4 and 6 for me this week, and I'm just going to keep starting him.
Okay, well, there we go. I think that's a little bit of controversy. I saw some yeses on the Baker Mayfield. Who's starting Baker Mayfield over Patrick Mahomes this week?
Me. He's been better. And better matchup.
Well, he's been better the last 2 weeks.
Three.
Yeah, okay. Three. I would bet if you looked at the last 8 weeks, he's probably been better because Mahomes has had like one good game. That's just a guess. I don't know. Mayfield had some bad games too.
8 weeks, so that goes through week 9 through 16?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Look it up. See who's better.
You might be right. I don't have any idea. Yeah, but I got it right here.
Hey, Baker's got 80 fantasy points in his last 3 games alone.
He has been better for the last 8 weeks.
Yeah. Mahomes has 2 games over 20 fantasy points since week 9. He's been close to 20 in like 3 games, but over 20, that magical 20-point barrier, just 2 times.
Okay, so
Baker, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, including 23-plus in each of his past 3. And the matchup is definitely better. I don't know if it's better. I think they both have good matchups. It's close. I think they're both top 10.
Stafford at the Giants or Mahomes?
Stafford.
Mahomes.
All right. So Heath's just riding Patrick Mahomes, ride or die.
That's surprising. Very surprising.
All right. How about let's go to our running backs here. So Travis Etienne coming off 2 straight single-digit games. There's just a lot of concerning signs here. 4 straight games with 14 or fewer.
Not this week.
Well, I'm just saying there are concerning signs. Not getting a lot of carries.
There's nothing concerning this week.
There is. I mean, he's averaging 3.2 yards per carry in his last 10 games.
And Aaron Jones couldn't get close to 100 yards and ran for 127. And A.J. Dillon couldn't find the end zone. He scored. It's the Panthers. I mean, don't overthink things.
All right, all right, all right. And then you've got DeAndre Swift, who...
Oh, I love DeAndre Swift.
Right, but he doesn't catch any passes. He has 5 catches in his last 5 games.
Things. Don't overthink things.
He's out at the goal line. He's out at the goal line.
It doesn't matter. They make everybody look good.
So the difference is like Swift hasn't exactly looked bad, whereas Etienne has looked bad, right? But Swift doesn't.
Swift
is
my start of the week. I don't worry about this one.
Swift doesn't have the 3 to 4 catches every week.
This is the lane just opened up. You have a wide open layup. Don't miss it. I mean, it's just too easy.
Yeah. All right. So, but who, like, are we talking top 12 guys in these great matchups for Etienne and Swift?
They are for me. I'm not even overthinking things. I mean, there's just. You know he's going to get the work. He's been getting the work the last 2 games. They want to run the ball. This is an easy opportunity to run the ball. It's the Cardinals going to the East Coast back-to-back road games. I mean, this is as close to a layup as you can find.
I might be the one overthinking things on Swift. I have him ranked pretty low just because I'm worried about, well, what happens if he doesn't score? What happens if he doesn't have a ton of work? Did the Eagles' defense solve itself against the Giants?
No.
Does that mean it's going to be a run-heavy offense for Philadelphia?
So
I'm not ready to say that he's a bust by any stretch, but it's something that I think I've got to reconcile.
They were up 2 touchdowns in the first half when they were running the ball.
I mean, yeah.
And they gave him a touchdown late, right? Didn't he score late in the game?
No, he scored in the second quarter.
That's late.
And he should have had one in the first quarter.
But that's the thing. Okay, if he doesn't score, if they get inside the 2-yard line, he's not scoring the touchdown most likely. DeAndre, like I said, he has 5... It's not like I don't think he's going to run efficiently against the Cardinals. It's not that. It's he's a trap back, right?
He scored in the fourth quarter against the Giants.
Scored in the fourth quarter? Right. Okay.
Yes. From 5 yards out. So it really comes down to, like, he's going to get some carries inside the 10 when they get there. But it might only be, like, 2 carries the entire game. If he scores on one of them, that's great. But even without it last week, what do he give you, 9 non-PPR and PPR points?
Yeah, it's not
good. He's a number 2 running back at minimum. If you think he could be more efficient on 20 carries this week. You can make the case that he's like well inside the top 20.
All right, Heath, where do you stand on Etienne and Swift?
I've got ETN as borderline top 12. Mostly just agree with what Jamie said. I'm starting him and not thinking about it. Swift is a low-end number two for me. It's a great matchup. There's a great opportunity, but Jalen Hurts could have four or five touchdowns, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. And if DeAndre Swift doesn't score a touchdown, he's going to stink.
So, Jamie, who do you like better, Swift or ETN? Who do you all like better, Swift or ETN?
ETN.
Travis ETN.
That's okay. What about if Beathard plays? Would it change anything?
No.
I think we should expect it at this point. I almost think that Jacksonville, they just need a win.
He's literally never missed a game because of injury. High school, college, the NFL.
I saw a report that his status was in doubt. He's got a sprained AC shoulder.
Yeah, he was in the concussion protocol. He didn't miss
like
the game.
2 days.
Yeah, he had the high ankle sprain.
He was bent backwards and his ankle fell off and they put it back on and he came back.
They just signed a quarterback to their active roster. So I think
that speaks more about Beathard, to be honest with you, than it does about Lawrence.
Oh, they're not going to Matt Barkley over Beathard.
I don't think they're going to Matt Barkley either, but I think if they want to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, just in case.
Maybe. All right. So you guys like ETN and Swift. Do you like James Conner or ETN and Swift?
ETN, Swift, Conner for me, but they're all very close.
Conner, ETN, Swift.
I think ETN, Conner, Swift.
All right. How about how about Breece Hall compared to those two guys? Start with that.
He makes me nervous this week, but it's hard to get away from what his potential is. And, you know, I know the Miami game was an absolute disaster, but he had been so involved in the passing game the four games prior to that and then got back involved in the passing game clearly again. So, you know, just based on what his upside is, I know it's a tough matchup against Cleveland, but I don't see how anybody could be sitting Breece Hall.
But I don't look at him as a top 12 running back. I wouldn't put him that high. I'm not anointing him. He's coming off of a game where he had 32 touches on Sunday. Now he's playing on Thursday. The matchup is inherently harder. And I'm getting a little nervous about him. I have him 15th. I'm not sure if I can even keep him that high against the Browns. I'll start him as a number two running back, but I don't know if he's going to need those catches again. Mm-hmm. And I think he can get six or seven, 12. I'd be surprised.
Did you just use my YOLO roster for the tough call?
Yeah, no.
I'm not he's the exact opposite of DeAndre Swift. He could score 25 fantasy points without scoring a touchdown, and they could score 0 points.
I said to you before the show started, Breece Hall, in week one, he scored something like 15.4 points PPR. That is his only game all year with anywhere between 12 and 18. So that's why you get so frustrated with Breece Hall. Now, he's usually in the 10-11 range. A bad game for Breece Hall is like 10-11 PPR points. If you're in a half PPR or a non-PPR league, it's probably a little bit of a different discussion, especially non. But he doesn't score 14, 15, 6. He doesn't have any okay or solid games. He's either great or that's pretty disappointing. But like, whereas ETN has single-digit PPR fantasy points in, you know, I don't know what it is, a lot recently. You know, maybe four of his last five games or now four of his last six, something like that. That almost never happens with Breece Hall. But it is weird. When you get those guys who don't have a lot of in-between games, they can give you a lot of fits. So, all right. So, okay, final rankings. Travis Etienne, DeAndre Swift, Breece Hall. What do you, well, as of Wednesday, your rankings of those three?
Etienne, Swift, Hall, Connor, for me.
Okay.
Connor, Hall, ETN, Swift.
Hall, ETN, Connor, Swift.
Okay.
That was helpful. Very helpful.
Yeah. Devon Achane. Pick your favorite analyst, folks. Devon Achane. Is he even a tough call at this point, Heath, or is Achane just a sit?
I mean, it's hard to just say he's a sit because we know what type of upside that he has. But I was looking at this the other day, like the two games that he's had this season where he's had more than 12 touches, the Dolphins won by a combined 80 points. Like if it's been a competitive game, he's been 12 touches or fewer. They're hopeful this is going to be a competitive game. I don't think they're going to win it by 30 to 50 points. So like he's got that Breece Hall big play ability, could score from anywhere. That's what keeps him in the conversation. But he's behind every running back we've talked about so far, and he's not a top 25 running back for me in any format.
Ooh.
I totally agree. And the only way I'd be starting Achane this week is if Raheem Mostert is somehow out.
Dave, I see your ranking is 16th on Devon Achane right now.
It's the upside. We know what he's capable of doing. We know that he can break long ones. We know that he catches passes as well. We don't know how healthy Raheem Mostert is. If Mostert plays and he's not at 100%, Achane theoretically would get more work.
I'm sorry, I don't remember. What was his injury when he missed that
time? They haven't listed as a shin injury right now.
No. I'm talking
nobody
about
Achane.
Achane had a knee, right? When Achane missed that time? Yeah.
Achane was in the injury, yes.
So since he's come back, I don't know if this is coincidence. You can't expect him to break big runs, but you can cut his season in half. Before he missed that time, he had 39 carries. Since he missed that time, he's had 40 carries. In the last 40 carries, he does not have a run longer than 15 yards.
Only done well in the blowout against the Commanders, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. And yeah. The first 39 carries, he had 6 carries of longer than 15 yards, which is great. And he had 3 carries of 55 or more yards. So you can't, I mean, really, you shouldn't expect anyone to have a whole bunch of big runs on only 40 carries. But I do have to wonder if he's not as explosive as he was before the knee injury. I mean, I think it's
fair. You also have a bad offensive line that's fallen apart since then, too.
Ravens do not have a great run defense. I say that almost every week. It's if they have a defensive weakness, it's their run defense. It's not bad, but yeah, okay. All right, so
yeah, but only the really like elite guys have done well against them.
Probably, yeah, right, yeah. Okay, only 6 running backs have scored more than 13.5 fantasy points. They are Gibbs, Moss, Henry, Mixon, Kyren, and Christian McCaffrey.
And you just look at Achane's game logs. I mean, it's 12 touches or less in 3 straight games. Like he needs probably Mostert to be out to do anything of significance.
What do you think, Dave? Is anyone convincing you to move him down?
He's going to be a top 24 running back.
Yeah, but you have him 16th. He's going to be more like 24.
He'll move down from there, but he's a top 24 running back.
All right. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back. We'll talk about Zay Flowers, that big game last week after less than 2 fantasy points the week before. T. Higgins, DeAndre Hopkins, and more. And Stephon Diggs, that guy. All right, we'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
More tough calls for week 17. Zay Flowers, I think, is one of them. and he's facing the Dolphins. You know why? I don't know if you guys agree with this. This is why I think he's a tough call. He's not like going to get shadowed by Jalen Ramsey, right? They use him in very different ways. He doesn't have, I don't think he has an 80-yard game all year, but I think there's no predictability. That's the thing. And there's one thing with Zay Flowers that I've noticed is that when Lamar Jackson throws 30 or more passes, Zay Flowers is good basically every time. However, there's no predictability on when he's going to throw 30 or more passes. It's not a score thing. It's not a matchup thing. So I don't even know how you would go about ranking Zay Flowers. Like, when are his good games? It's very hard to predict, I think, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. That's my take. Love to know.
That's the land of the wide receiver three. Like, we've got 24 of them, as Jamie says, and that's just where he's just ranked amongst the wide receiver threes who could give you a good game and could give you a four.
Four. So what do you think? Good game or a four for Zay Flowers? What's your gut telling you this week?
Oh no, you don't try to predict the wide receiver three. You just put them in the wide receiver three range. I think it'll be a fine game. I'll give them a 12 this week.
Do you think the Ravens will be able to run the ball effectively against Miami?
Nope.
Then start Zay Flowers. Because that's the trend that we went with earlier this year. I was reminded of that watching the game on Monday against San Francisco, where you saw Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. They had a couple of decent runs, but really nothing explosive. It was Lamar that was getting the big runs, of course. And I think that they use more of Zay Flowers when they can't run the football. It's an extension of their run game. Think of those screen passes, those short passes. And otherwise, he doesn't get a lot of targets. So I think the Dolphins
are right. I disagree on that. I disagree on that.
But he doesn't get a lot of Edwards and Hill struggle. And Zay Flowers has a chance to be top 24.
He's played four games since Mark Andrews has gone down. In three of those, he has 8+ targets. He has one stinker. And yes, the yards aren't exactly what you like to see, but 8+ targets from Lamar right now is a pretty good place to be. And he had the one bad game against Jacksonville, which we thought would be an easy one because of how bad their defense has played and certainly how bad they defended wide receivers. But I mean, in three of those games, he's been what? 23.2, 20, and 22.2. Yeah. I don't think there's a really tough call here.
Oh, well, there's a rushing touchdown in one of those games.
But still, that's more. That's more manufactured touches for their best playmaker right now.
But so you could say three of the last four games, he has 8 or more targets. But he went 5 games before that with fewer than 8 targets.
Mark Andrews was still there.
But Isaiah Likely still getting...
That coincides. Those are the exact 4 games since Andrews has been gone.
I mean, well, that's a great point. I wonder if the target share probably is higher. All right, so you're basically saying that's a great point. All right, without Mark Andrews, he has 8 or more targets.
He's had
one dud. Yeah. All right, Heath, you buying that? You good with
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good reason to make him a borderline number two. I still think there's a chance he can have 8 targets and have, like, he had 5 for 25 against the Chargers.
Yeah.
But he scored a touchdown, and so everything was fine. Like, it's really going to depend on how well the Dolphins tackle, because his targets don't necessarily turn into a lot of yards. He averaged 6 yards per target against the Rams at 60 yards on 10 targets.
Man, it's funny.
Yeah, but the process is how many opportunities are you going to get? And in 3 or 4 games without their best pass catcher, he's been the guy. So the opportunities are there. I don't understand what the tough call is.
Well, you got him ranked 24th, so it's not like you don't have him ranked like a wide receiver.
I mean, I extend it more than what you said. To me, it's like from wide receiver 15 to wide receiver 35. They're all in the same sort of boat of potential.
Canoe.
You know, so that to me is the number two receiver range.
Okay. One touchdown in his first 11 games and 3 in his last 4 games. Okay. What's
big
that?
Piece missing. Big piece
I,
missing.
I understand that, but I wonder, like, is Isaiah Likely drawing a similar amount of targets as Mark Andrews in these last 4 games?
No, it's less. He's coming off of a 4-target game against the Niners.
Yeah, but what do you have before? All right, whatever.
And remember, some of those targets that Zay Flowers is getting aren't the type of targets that Isaiah Likely or Mark Andrews would get. These little screen passes where it's like, you know, smoke screen. He throws it to Flowers off the snap. Flowers is waiting for it. He's got blockers in front of him. They want to try and take advantage of his yak.
You said this for years, how rookies at the end of the season make that push, and here we are.
Yeah, I don't think the targets are that different, by the way, between Likely and Andrews. I mean, they're a little different, but Andrews had 6 or fewer targets in 7 of 10 games. He wasn't exactly a target hog because they don't throw that much. All right, we got T. Higgins and DeAndre Hopkins. Do you like them better or worse than Zay Flowers? T. Higgins at Kansas City. Why is he a tough call? Well, if he's going to be the number one receiver, if Chase is out, is that, does he get L'Jarius Sneed? Because I don't like him if he does. Right. And he's a tough call anyway. And then there's Hopkins. I don't know how you guys feel. I'd like to see Levis come back. But Higgins, Hopkins compared to Zay Flowers. Jamie, how do you see that?
I think you just go Higgins over Flowers. There's more upside, you know, based on what we've seen the last two games. And it's not hard to buy into the downside of L'Jarius Sneed. You know, so we certainly saw that. I don't know how much of that was a byproduct of Davante Adams struggling against Sneed or just them not throwing because they only completed a pass in the first quarter. So that, you know, they just stopped attempting to throw.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Higgins is in that, you know, number two canoe. But in terms of Hopkins, I mean, my gosh, how many bad games have we seen from him? And so, yes, the Texans prior to their game against the Titans 2 weeks ago had been absolutely beautiful for number one wide receivers. And then it came back again last week. So I'd rather start Flowers over Hopkins. I'd start Higgins over Hopkins. But Hopkins, I think, is still a number three receiver.
Okay. So anybody,
this may be his last trip to Houston.
Anyone confident here?
I'm sure he'll go back for like autograph sessions and stuff like that.
True.
Maybe some parties. I agree with Jamie 100%. The nice thing about Higgins is he's their number one receiver. I don't think they'll back down targeting him just because Sneed is there. Could impact his catch rate, obviously. Sneed is a very good cover corner. But T. Higgins was up against Joey Porter last week. We made a big stink about Porter covering him tightly, and T. Higgins was still able to break away for a big gain and touchdown and all that. So I like him as a low-end number two wide receiver. Higgins, Flowers, Hopkins. I may put Hopkins ahead of Flowers if it's Will Levis, because chance for more explosive plays with Levis compared to Tannehill.
Yeah, I think like it wouldn't surprise me at all if T. Higgins has the game that he had last week without the 80-yard touchdown. Like he had 4 for 60 on 7 targets. I think he's right in that same number three range with Zay and with Hopkins. I think I've got it right now, Higgins, Flowers, Hopkins, but they are all very, very close, within a point of each other in the projections.
Yeah, he right. So that 80-yard touchdown was not, I think it was just in zone coverage, and Porter was not like on him for that play, whereas Sneed could really be on him for any play that he's not in the slot. And I mean, he has been the receiver eraser. So do you think, so I'm sorry if you answered this, if Chase is out, do you think he's going to get shadowed by Sneed?
Yes.
Yeah. On out when he lines up outside. Not sure.
He doesn't go to the slot very often, does he?
No. Right. No, I don't. I'd have to double check it.
I'm looking at it right now. So. I was already ahead of about 20%.
When you say he doesn't go to the slot, do you mean Higgins, Sneed, or both?
Higgins
might mostly be in the slot like a quarter of the time. I think I remember seeing that going into last week's game.
Yeah,
and I'd be curious to know if he would line up in the slot on his touchdown, because maybe that's how he, if he was away from Joey Porter, maybe that's how he got away from Joey Porter.
Let's see. Yes. No.
Maybe.
No. No. Anyway. All right.
So we didn't answer the question.
No, I don't want my receiver to be lined up against L'Jarius Sneed. I think that is a terrible thing. It's been really bad for great, great receivers. That my last tough call is Stephon Diggs. So we got a snap count thing going on here, because last week he played 60% of the snaps. And he got hurt on his first target. But Sean McDermott said he didn't think that was the reason for it. Dave, I don't know why you're laughing. Did I say something?
I just watched the all 22 of Higgins' touchdown. He lined up wide across from Joey Porter. Porter was playing zone. He absolutely did not cover T. Higgins whatsoever. Yeah. He was covering the flat player, and Higgins did a slant over the middle of the Steelers' defense and took off.
Right.
It was all very amusing.
So Stephon Diggs, anyway, he's played 60% of the snaps last week. McDermott said it wasn't the injury. He played 46% of the snaps the week before against Dallas. But you could say, oh, it was a blowout. It was, but in the first three quarters of that game, he played 26 snaps and Gabe Davis played 46 snaps.
Because Gabe Davis blocks.
Sure, but you
wouldn't. They ran the ball like 75 times.
All right, but you wouldn't expect. He's still out there. It's not like we're playing one receiver sets. The week before that, he played 78% of the snaps or 79%. This is a guy who usually plays 95% of the snaps, you know? So that's happening. And he's just been bad. I mean, what is it? It's 8.8 or fewer points in five of his last six games. He gets the Patriots. Jamie, what's your confidence level? Is Stephon Diggs a tough call for you, Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a lack of production. It's a lack of pass attempts like we've seen from the Bills because of their run offense doing much better. Last week, they struggled to really run the ball to the same level. They tried. And it's not like Diggs had a huge game. And so, look, are you sitting Stephon Diggs? He's 96% started. So for the 4% that are still in their championship that have him, they may be sitting him. So he's still a number two wide receiver. But, I mean, how many times have you been burned by him in the last 6 weeks? Five times. You know, so at what point is it just, okay, we can't keep saying he's a top 10 guy, saying he's a top 15 guy, saying he's a top 20 guy. Like, it's just a matter of at some point he'll break through. I hope that's the case this week for people that are starting him. But he's probably cost you a chance to compete for your fantasy championship.
24 targets in his last three games. None of them came in the red zone. One went into the end zone.
Five of his last 650 yards receiving.
54%.
Yeah. There's only one good stat right now. It's that he's had a massive target share the last three games. They just haven't thrown the ball much. I think 36 attempts in the last two games. Who's having the party at their house, by the way? Is that Heath?
That's not me. It is not. No.
It's not you?
No.
No. Must be me.
Okay, it's Jamie on the golf course over there. Anyway, Heath, Diggs a tough call.
I think I'm probably just in the same place with him that I am with Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to start Stephon Diggs. Like, maybe there's a chance that you have two or three top 12 wide receivers and you're maybe sitting him. I think we all have him ranked ahead of all the tough, like Zay Flowers, T. Higgins, DeAndre Hopkins, all those guys. I have them a little bit further ahead of those guys, but we all have him ahead of those three guys. So, like, I would sit him for Chris Olave or Devontae Smith or Debo or Puka, DJ Moore. There's some guys you might have with Diggs you might sit him for, but for the most part, I'm just starting him.
Let me ask you this. It's almost the same question as with the Ravens. Do you see the Bills having success running the ball against the Patriots?
No.
Okay, so the biggest issue, because Adam talked about this, the target share for Diggs has still been great. It's that Josh Allen hasn't been throwing a lot. It was like 21 attempts last week, 15 the game before. So if they can't run the ball against New England, eventually they're going to have to go back to Josh Allen, and Josh Allen's going to have to throw it 30 times, 35 times. Could you see that happening against the Patriots? I think I could. And so even if he's got, like, let's keep it low, a 20% target share for Stephon Diggs, that would only be like six or seven targets. That's not good. He's been over 30% each of the last 3 weeks. Now we're talking about 9 or 10 targets. I know the catch rate hasn't been great, but I think that there's still going to be chances for him, but not to the same upside that we saw earlier or what we wanted to do with him when the season started. So I think ranking him as a number two wide receiver is perfectly acceptable, especially in PPR.
Would you start James Cook or Stephon Diggs?
I'm starting Cook over Diggs.
Cook, but that's not an easy one either. Mm-hmm.
You almost have to count on the Bills throwing to Cook this week.
Yeah. What about ETN and Swift or Stephon Diggs?
I think
it's those running backs for me.
Especially in non-PPR.
Well, I'm not. Nobody plays in non-PPR. I'm not playing in non-PPR. People do. But if catches count, I'm sorry. I was trying to make a joke there. I do care about the non-PPR audience.
Down your nose at
I have a non-PPR championship game this week.
And four that aren't. But, so anyway, Dave, in full PPR, are you starting Diggs or ETN and Swift?
I believe I have Diggs ahead of both ETN and Swift.
Heath, you want to break the tie?
Diggs over both.
All right. All right. Well, I was going to take another break, but I think why don't we just get right into what everyone's been waiting for. Thursday Night Football, Dave Richards.
Na, 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 na.
The Jets are at the Browns. The Jets ran 85 plays last week, and you got 16 targets for Breece Hall, 15 for Garrett Wilson. You had a lot of good stuff there. Meanwhile, you got Flacco, who's thrown 42 or more passes in all four of his starts. There have been two quarterbacks who have thrown more than 40 passes against the Jets, Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts, and neither of them did very well. They both threw one touchdown to three interceptions. How about this? In the last 4 weeks, the Browns have the most 20-plus yard completions in the NFL, the second most 20-plus air yard completions in the NFL. Those stats are, by the way, going into Monday's games. I did these notes on Monday before the Christmas games. But the Browns are getting these big chunk plays, connecting on deep balls. Guess what? You don't do that against the Jets. So I know this is not a great game aesthetically, but I do think it's a pretty interesting fantasy game. Jamie, does the Jets offense, I mean, the two guys we care about, are they good starts this week, Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson?
They're good. They're not great.
I would venture to say Garrett Wilson could be bad.
Oh, is he outside your top 24?
Yes.
No.
22nd in full PPR.
Okay, 25th.
Zay Flowers or Garrett Wilson?
Wilson, though.
Still Wilson if it's full PPR. Flowers easy if it's half or none.
All right. How about James Conner or Garrett Wilson?
Conner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I love the targets last week, but it's still Trevor Siemian throwing to him. And it's still a short week. And you mentioned how many offensive snaps the Jets ran. The Browns defense played 55 snaps. That's low. So they'll be a little fresher than they would normally be on a short week. And that offensive line for the Jets is still just such a problem. And I think the Browns can take advantage.
It's terrifying that Trevor Siemian threw 49 passes against the Washington Commanders for 217 yards. I think Garrett Wilson had like a 4-yard ADOT last week or something. Just everything short. All right, so would you start Breece Hall or Amari Cooper? And let me tell you this about Amari Cooper. He has had 4 200-yard games in his career. He followed the other three up with 48, 32, and 3 yards. The 3-yard game he left very early with an injury. So 48 and 32 yards after the first two 200-yard games. The Jets allow the fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. Dave, Breece Hall or Amari Cooper?
I believe I have Cooper over Hall, but I don't necessarily want to expect monster games from either one of them. I'm moving down Amari Cooper in my rankings as we speak. I was way too excited about him. It's a tough matchup for him, too. And I don't know if this is going to be the same type of game script for the Browns like they've been doing the past 4 weeks with Joe Flacco, where he's throwing it 40-plus times. I think this is going to end up being a sloppy game. Both sides of the ball. Defense rules.
Okay. Anyone else? Jamie, Heath, Cooper, or Breece Hall?
I've got Hall over Cooper.
I would start Cooper over Hall, but I also have Cooper ranked too high.
Where do you have him now?
Oh, top 10, but it's a little bit too aggressive. It just, you know, you think about, you said this many times, the great wide receivers have done well against the Jets. Always. And we saw it with Jalen Waddle 2 games ago. You know, so it's not like you should fear him because of this defense, but I don't think you should say, oh my God, he's going to win me my week again.
No, that's the thing. I mean, he's not going to be shadowed. I go do this every week, right? They have one receiver here, one receiver to take out of the game, not Njoku, but one wide receiver. They, of course, should shadow him with Sauce Gardner. They won't. They never do. So here are the good receivers that have struggled against the Jets. Devontae Smith had 5 catches for 44 yards on 11 targets. He had 2 bad drops in that game, you might remember. Keenan Allen was...
What did A.J. Brown do in that game?
Oh, A.J. Brown had 7 catches for 131 yards on 9 targets. Keenan Allen was fine. He had 8 for 77. Stephon Diggs was legitimately bad. 4 catches for 27 yards. That was not the first game. The first game, he had 102 yards and a touchdown. So one great game and one bad game for Diggs. Drake London had 1 catch for 8 yards. On the road, you know, whatever. He's not even that great. I don't know. Most of the good wide receivers do just fine. I don't run away from this matchup. I don't know about you guys. It's funny because they are the number one team against wide receivers, but a lot of it's been competition, and the ones that are good do well. And Cooper is, I think, 77 or more yards in all but 2 games that have not been started by Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Anyone feel
which means he's a good wide receiver.
This is the second best quarterback he's ever played with, right?
No.
Who's first, Dak?
Derek Dak Carr. One. I think
Flacco too.
I think Carr.
Carr three.
Probably better. Flacco's playing, I guess, pretty well. I don't know.
I mean, career wise, Carr's not close to Flacco.
No, but this is Joe Flacco in his, you know, the twilight of his career. Flacco.
He leads the NFL in passing yards since he started.
I'm sure he leads in pass attempts. He's got like 170 something pass attempts.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the Browns to win the Super Bowl and have to make this call next season about who's the quarterback.
All right. So, if Jamie, if you think you're too high on him, where's everyone going to settle on Amari Cooper this week?
It's hard to get him out of the top 10, but he'll probably be somewhere in the top 12.
I don't know if I can sit him for Steph Diggs.
Oh, no chance.
So that's where I'd go. Like, if Diggs is a number two receiver, then Amari Cooper is going to be at least one step ahead of him there.
He's top 15. I think the other thing is there a red zone target for Elijah Moore coming?
We saw what Robert Saleh said, right?
I bet there's a red zone target for Elijah Moore coming.
What did he say?
He was asked about Elijah Moore, and he said, we'll have that conversation later. That's a conversation for a later date. It's the ultimate revenge game coming.
All right, we got to talk about Jerome Ford.
He's my MVP tomorrow night.
Let me see if I have any Breece Hall. If you have any Breece Hall questions there, I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about him earlier, but would you go Breece Hall or, like, in a full PPR league, Breece Hall, who, you know, 5-6 catches maybe more, or Raheem Mostert, probably getting one catch?
Hall.
Mostert right now.
Same, Mostert.
Okay, Breece Hall or... is there a good one here? Breece Hall. Everyone's starting both these guys. Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice or Breece Hall?
Rice.
Rice.
I've got Hall.
All right. David Njoku, is he top five?
Top two.
He's top one.
Wow.
He's number three for me, but yeah.
All right, he's top three. Start David Njoku. Double-digit PPR fantasy points for Njoku in 9 of his last 10 games. That's pretty damn good.
With some 20 burgers with Flacco.
Any interest in Jerome Ford this week?
He's a good flex. You can run on the Jets. We've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just gave up 3 touchdowns to the Commanders. So,
but he's a between the 20s running back.
Yeah. So, so is Antonio Gibson. You're looking at Kareem Hunt's banged up. I don't know how much that'll matter when we get to tomorrow. We'll find out what the final injury report says. But look, he should get back to his 11 point something PPR points.
So we've got the Browns scoring quite a few points in this game.
I mean, they're a touchdown favorite at home. Jets, you know, it's like we saw the Jets do something well last week, and so it might change the opinion of some people, but they're still, the week before, they couldn't score against the Dolphins at all. Breece Hall was terrible. Garrett Wilson was terrible. It's still Trevor Siemian. This is the best defense in statistically.
They're not playing the Commanders. Right.
Yeah.
They're doing a full 180 as far as matchups go.
Right. It's like if Breece Hall took you here, you say thank you. And whatever you get this week is, you know, hopefully a bonus. He's not going to have the same type of game by any stretch.
Oh, man. Do you think he even adds like a third of the points?
Yeah, that would be the hope.
All right. Do you think Breece Hall will be under 12? Over 18 or the second game all year in the middle in PPR?
Second game of the year in the middle.
Feels like it's this is like
the catches.
11 and a
over
half.
Over 18.
Oh, Heath. All right. Which DST do you like better? LOL. It's the Browns. How much do you like the Jets?
DST. Start them.
Start
working? Yeah, I think you start them. Flacco's still throwing a ton of interceptions.
Yeah.
And they can still get after the quarterback.
They know his tendencies.
Just to give Joe Flacco a little bit of love here, one of the interceptions he threw last week, he threw two, was the last play of the half, and they didn't have a kicker. So he just had to heave the ball into the end zone, and it was intercepted. And they should have I think they'll have a kicker this week. And that is it.
Yeah, they have Riley Patterson.
Yeah, that is it for Thursday Night Football, the Jets and the Browns. Let's take a break. I got some 2024. Some 2024 questions. 2024 questions. When we come back on FFT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
You know, I'm curious about something. How much, I want Dave and Jamie to guess, what percentage of the Kansas bowl game did Heath watch last night? I will also guess. Zero. I will say 5%. Jamie says zero. Dave?
I'll say 6%. We'll do this Price is Right style.
Well, then you should have said 4, I think. But
you said 5.
You should have said 1, closest without going over.
No, you're really, really terrible at this game, Adam. What? Like, Dave's 6% is by far the best answer.
Oh, yeah. My bad. 6%.
Jamie's right.
Oh, Jamie's right. 0%.
I was in bed at 8:30 last night.
Oh, Heath, 8:30?
Yeah.
You got family in town and a Kansas game on? Come on now.
I'm kind of jealous.
It's a good win.
It was.
Jason Bean, big, big day. 6 touchdowns.
Sure. Okay, 2024 questions. Is Jahmyr Gibbs a first-round pick?
Yes.
I think he will be.
Yep.
That's just a little unusual with a shared backfield, I guess. But
the Lions' backfield is a little unusual.
Yeah. All right, fine. Next question. Anthony Richardson or Justin Herbert next year?
Oh, that's a good one. I think I'll go Herbert, but I don't think it's crazy to think about Anthony Richardson as like one of the top tier or second tier QBs next year.
Herbert will finally have a good coach.
I hope so.
We've got a lot of questions to answer about the Chargers before we know the answer to this question, but I'd lean Richardson.
What does the head coach matter if we were so excited about Kellen Moore? And
because Moore wasn't what we expected.
I kind of disagree. I thought that Herbert got off to a really good start this year.
He did. For a while, he was like QB3.
Yeah, for a while. I think it was QB1. But obviously, the injuries took a toll on the talent around him. The offensive line for like the 9th year in a row for the Chargers took some massive hits.
He
himself got hurt, and I think he was affected the first time he hurt his finger.
I just can't wait until April when they are everyone's surprise sexy Super Bowl pick.
No, I don't think they'll ever be again. That. It shouldn't be that. But
who's the head coach? I agree with Heath
when they signed Belichick.
Yeah, is Belichick going to make things better for Justin Herbert?
No, he wouldn't.
Well, I mean, Belichick's had some pretty good quarterbacks in his career. One.
Yeah, I think just
– I was going to say quarterback play.
As long as he brings in Matt Patricia. Now, I think it is easy to forget how elite Justin Herbert was. Then the matchups got tougher. Dave mentioned the injuries. They have just not good weapons. I mean, I'm sorry. It just doesn't have good weapons. When Mike Williams went down and Eckler –
So who are the weapons next year?
That's the problem. It's Quentin Johnston. It's been a pretty discouraging season.
Johnston to take a leap. Yeah. We'll see if they add anybody else. See how Mike Williams is. Williams even signed? I think he is. I think they gave him an extension.
Yeah.
Because if it's Belichick, I doubt they spend a whole lot of resources on adding pass catchers.
Sure. And then they'll find running backs off the scrap heap.
Well, if it's Belichick as a coach without a GM role.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Belichick. I don't see the Chargers as a team willing to give out 7 figures to a head coach.
Well, they just said that they're not going to be worried about cost cutting when it comes to coaching.
Yeah.
If you are in the chat right now and you have a team, you root for an NFL team that doesn't have a great coach. Do you want Bill Belichick to be your coach? I'd love to know what people think. Do you
the
want...
Chargers just spent years with Brandon Staley. Of course they want Bill Belichick.
As a Giants fan,
they'll take Steve Belichick.
As a Giants fan,
I remember when we were excited about Brandon Staley.
I do not want Bill Belichick as a head coach. I don't. I would not even.
Belichick coach is
you. You would take Brian Daboll over Bill Belichick, Adam?
I would take Brian Daboll over Bill Belichick. I don't want Belichick.
Belichick, the personnel guy, is awful. Belichick, the coach, is fine. Look what their defense is still playing great, and they have nobody.
Give me Steve Belichick.
I don't think I'm not sure Belichick would take that job.
Which job?
They're in a terrible cap situation.
There are people lining up around the street, back through whatever place, however description to coach Justin Herbert. There are people lined up out the door for that job.
You're talking about the Chargers job, Heath?
Absolutely.
Yeah, job?
Sean Payton wanted that job. If the Chargers were smart, they would have fired Staley last year and hired Sean Payton. That's the job he was waiting for. Yeah. He just couldn't wait to get back.
I'm not sure I want Sean Payton either, but
Sean Payton got like $18 million a year.
Yeah,
Walmart built an ATM in his house.
They just clean house.
I mean, you could say that Bill Belichick is a good coach, but
what
hold on. He's also the same guy.
Way to go out on
who, well, obviously he's the best coach ever, but he's. You know, everyone's day runs out eventually, right? He's also the same guy who decided to do that stupid experiment at offensive coordinator last year. So
yes, he should not be in charge of anything personal.
But he's going to be in charge of his coordinator. He's going to be in charge of his coordinators. Like the head coach is going to choose the coordinators. Okay, I know he shouldn't be the GM. He shouldn't be making draft picks and all that. But his coordinators, he's going to decide on. Has he made a good offensive coordinator decision?
He's made poor. Well, Josh McDaniels was pretty
McDaniels
good.
McDaniels is pretty good for him. And he might reunite with him wherever he goes.
Or was he good with Tom Brady? I mean, like, let's look at McDaniels' career, really. But I mean, fine. But
right. McDaniels without Belichick is terrible. McDaniels with Belichick and Brady. And
well, in fairness, Belichick without Brady is terrible.
100%.
I think Belichick did a pretty good job in the first couple of years.
As a defensive coach. And as a coach, he's been great.
Okay. And does anyone here think Belichick would accept a job where he's the head coach and he doesn't get control of the personnel?
No.
I don't think he does.
I think he would.
It's going to take a team willing to give him that control.
I think he would for the right money, and he gets to pick the GM he's working with.
Right. But then he's still making the call. There's just somebody doing it for him.
Okay. last question here. If Marvin Harrison goes to the Arizona Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Round three.
How many year two wide receivers would you draft ahead of him? So Tank Dell, Puka Nacua, JSN, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, etc. If Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Arizona Cardinals, how many second year, currently rookies, next year second year wide receivers would you draft ahead of Marvin Harrison?
One.
Puka and Tank.
Puka is it. He's going to be a round three fantasy pick, a total unicorn. We really haven't seen rookie receivers going that high, but he's awesome. Ready for the NFL. Polish as can be. Go ahead, Heath. Tell me how wrong I am.
No, I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I'm like, who's in Seattle with JSN?
So I was looking at that and I think
Metcalf and Lockett. I think
Lockett has a really big cap hit. So I don't, no, unless maybe they could June 1st it or whatever. But I feel like his contract.
I can see JSN over Harrison as well if it's him and DK.
Yeah. They can move on from – it's a big cap hit, but they can still move on. It's better if it's a post-June 1st.
I mean, the Chargers are going to pay $12 million to Mike Williams to not be on the team next year.
I think it's even more than that. I think it's like 18 for Lockett. Am I right?
No, the cap savings is $18 million if he's a designated June 1st cut, which my guess is that's what he'd be. If he doesn't restructure.
Okay.
But I would imagine that next year, Lockett, if he's on the Seahawks, falls to the number three role and JSN takes a step up.
Let's read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This one is from Adam.
Ooh, that was fun, man. Talking 2024.
Yeah.
We're going to get 6 months of this. Yes.
I know. Yeah. Make sure you listen to our off-season content. We never stop. We're like Belichick. No days off. Except two every week for the next several months.
And just as charismatic.
What'd you say, Jamie?
guy just hit a terrible drive.
Jamie is legitimately on a golf course right
Let's
now.
Hear your best Jim Nantz impersonation next time someone's golfing in front of you, Jamie.
Oh, they're all just teeing off. So
who's next?
It's a threesome.
Here's Morton Shropshire at the tee. Boca Community
Golf.
He's
got like 17 warm-up swings.
What are we thinking? Like how many yards to the pin?
The first one was like a 50-yard drive. Oh, this guy's a little bit better. This is about a 80-yard drive. It's a par three.
80-yard drive. All right. I could do that.
80 yards?
I legitimately can do that. Okay.
Is it like an 80-year-old? What's going on?
It's a par three.
All right.
They're not hitting it very hard.
We're not getting the driver out here.
No.
All right. We got Adam's question. Three wide receivers, PPR. Who does he sit? He says he keeps getting it wrong. So, yeah, I could see that. Puka, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, or Cooper Kupp?
It's one of the Rams.
Yeah, I agree.
I've also made the wrong decision with sitting one of the Rams guys. I'm sitting Kupp.
I am sitting Kupp. And, Adam, I will be cheering for your Giants more than you ever have. this weekend, Jamie has Stafford, Kyren Williams, and Puka Nacua. So let's go, Wink. Put together something special. What can we get? A history of Stafford versus Wink's defenses?
I can pull that up. I've got Kupp over Nacua.
Giants defense at home is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. Can we get some wind, some cold?
I'm a little worried. The only thing that gives me a little bit of encouragement is the last time Stafford went to the East Coast, he had a pretty good game against a much better defense.
Baltimore.
At Baltimore. 29 fantasy points.
All right. This is from I don't have a name.
What's the Rams, please? Leave those guys in space against those corners.
Yeah, I know. We'll have to see if Deontay Banks gets back for the Giants. It's a pretty big deal. Jackie, Susan, Uncle Leo, and Putty. Dave, why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you'd like to see? Last week,
mad about you
of a 2-week championship. I'm up 1 point. It's non PPR. Pick 2 out of 3: Devontae Smith, Calvin Ridley, and Amari Cooper. Sit Ridley.
I might sit Devontae Smith.
Really?
Ridley, you Cooper, Smith, and who?
Ridley, Cooper, and Smith. Pick 2.
Oh, I'd sit Ridley.
You made the point the other day about what Smith has done with Goddard on the field.
I know. But when has Cooper done, or when has Ridley done well in a bad matchup? Never. And Carolina, I think they're fourth best against receivers. But all right. What did I say? 18 targets for Goddard and 10 for Smith in the last two games. From John, Mahomes or Stafford, 4 point per passing touchdown.
We answered this already. Stafford.
4 points a little closer because at least Mahomes will run. Stafford won't run. I still take Stafford.
Mahomes.
From Max. Hey, Johnny, Mike, Eric, and Indomican.
Those are Johnny,
Nebraska
Mike.
Cornhuskers?
Correct.
Yeah,
they are.
Eric Crouch.
Heisman Trophy winners and finalists. Mike Rozier, I don't know who Johnny is. Eric Crouch.
He's on the spot. He's got your Stafford stat for you after this question.
Two running backs, two wide receivers, two flex. Okay, so we need two running backs, Mostert, Mixon, and Hall. By the way, it's PPR.
Mostert and Hall.
Yeah.
Okay. Two receivers, Lamb, Ayuk, Pittman, Devontae Smith.
Lamb Pittman sure. If he plays, yeah. And Lamb and Ayuk if he does. I think Ayuk goes nuts this week.
Lamb, Ayuk.
I'd go Smith over Ayuk.
Okay. And
right. Stafford has one career game against Wink Martindale.
That is really strange as long as those guys have both been in the
I
game.
Know, but this is as Martindale is a defensive career. So,
yeah.
Martindale's been like, you know, other position coaches. I don't have that. But week 17, 2021 season, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 17% of his throws went 15 plus air yards. He was off target on 0% of his throws. He was sacked once.
Yeah. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Martindale's Ravens.
That was the Super Bowl year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last question here is Bob from Malibu saying, can you discuss the pros and cons of starting a wide receiver when the other fantasy manager has his quarterback? So he's thinking about picking up DeMarcus Robinson, but he's facing Matthew Stafford. He could also pick up Gabe Davis, KJ Osborne, Jerry Jeudy, or Tyler Boyd.
So I would pick up one of those other guys. The pros are that you get 6 points whenever he gets a touchdown. The cons are that he gets 6 points whenever you get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Just pick up Osborne.
I think
I don't even look at my opponent's lineups, really. Other than to try and block them. This is a week where you could try and block people.
That's what I'm saying, Dave. It doesn't make sense to look at your opponent's roster. You pick the player you think's going to score the most points.
I agree. It doesn't make sense to look at the individual players, but when we have so many Thursday and Saturday games, it can make sense on Sunday morning to look at how far behind or ahead you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Gabe Davis is the prime example of that.
No.
No. DeMarcus Robinson could be.
Gabe Davis is the prime example
George
of nothing.
Dickens, if you'd like.
Dave Davis makes no sense ever.
He did last week.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, you get some differing. Yeah, people have different philosophies on that. I feel like, you know, you're if you like Robinson the best, I'm not saying you should, but if you like Robinson the best in that group, you're punishing yourself by picking someone that you think is worse just because your opponent has Stafford. But if it's
close, you take the player who you think is the best. That's the 100% way to play it.
Yeah, but it is close, you know. So Jamie says,
I got to run. Hey, guys.
All right.
Jamie's straight, Jamie.
Jamie's got to go work on his putts. It's a Spaceballs joke. And we'll be out of here. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with Starter Sit for the AFC home games.
Mazur approaching 16.
See you later.
Ooh, a hard slice 15 yards down the course.
That sounds about right.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.